service. So if your kids want to stay with you, that's fine. We love having kids in service. Isaiah 61 and verse number 3. Isaiah 61 and verse number 3. Oh, it's good to see everyone today. Thank you for coming out. And I just appreciate your attendance today. We've got several folks online. I want to say welcome. Welcome. Miss Angie's watching after her surgery on Friday. You continue to pray for her. And Miss Rona and others are watching. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 61 and verse. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 3. Have you found it? Say amen. Let's read it out loud together as a family. If you didn't bring a Bible, it's okay. There's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. If you want to use your phone, that's okay. We don't worship the God of ink and paper. We worship the God who wrote it, okay? So I don't care which medium you it was just as authoritative and preserved when it was on papyrus and lambskin as it is today in cyberspace, okay? So look at it now. Isaiah 61 and verse number 3. Let's read verse 3 together, please. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We're going to focus in on that phrase about the oil of joy. But let's start back in verse number 1 again, and let's look at it in context. Now, of course, this is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. Jesus confirmed all this when he went to Nazareth after he, you know what I'm talking about, after his baptism. He went to Nazareth, to his hometown, and he asked for the scroll, which was his right as a Jewish man, went to the synagogue in his hometown, asked for the scroll. They gave him the scroll of Isaiah. He rolled it out to this point and from there presented himself as the fulfillment of the first part of this prophecy. In verse number 1, if you're following along, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma. Now that's where he came the first time. The second time, in context, he will come in the revelation, not the rapture, the revelation, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all them that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. The thing that stood out to me about that phrase is the fact that one of the greatest things about being a Christian is that we have joy. We have something this lost world does not have. And I want you to understand that I meet a lot of people who I don't know, they seem like Ebenezer Scrooge. Hey, if you've been watching the Christmas, all right, let's just take a poll. Who's been watching Christmas movies? Go on now. Come on. All right, admit it. Have you seen the one with George C. Scott, the one that's Scrooge? Okay, that's a classic, y'all. He not only played Patton extremely well, he also played Ebenezer Scrooge extremely well. You ought to watch that. Have you seen the one where they sing it, the musical one with Scrooge? I mean, the old one. Okay, a couple of you. Okay, you got some. Y'all need to be educated. Okay, I'm just kidding. But they're like Scrooge. I mean, how many people do you run into that Christmas is just big deal? Or worse, it's like, I hate the hustle. I hate the bustle. I hate standing in line. That's modern English for bah, humbug, you know, right? We have something in Christ because Christ came that this world doesn't have, and that's joy. Christ came it's our birthright as a Christian because we're born again. We have joy. I mean, now, Ms. B, I've been preaching on the Christmas story now for several weeks, and I know some of you probably walked in here today going, he's going to do it again, Edmy. Oh, we're going to hear it again. We're going to hear it again. It's Christmas time. We're going to hear the Christmas story again. No, not really. But yes. I mean, as you've heard me talk about over the last 3-4 weeks, you know, we heard the joy of Mary. When after the angel came and told her that she was going to have a baby and it was going to be Christ the Lord, and she said, be it unto me according to thy word, she went off to Elizabeth's house
And after she met with Elizabeth, what was it that she said? We'll jump over there in Luke 1 real quick. I'm not going to read the whole story, so everybody just follow along now. Use your Bible, Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter number 1. And look at verse number 46 and verse 47. Mary had joy. Remember, her plans all changed, but she had joy. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Do you honestly think? I mean, I understand that when you read the Bible, sometimes it seems a little sterile. I get it. But when you're reading something, you really need to put yourself into it for a second. Do you honestly think she went, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God"? I mean, you really honestly think she was just, you know, all broken up about the fact that all her plans? No, she's excited. She's rejoicing. That was her joy. I mean, you go on down in this same chapter to verse number 68, you hear Zacharias's joy at the birth of John the Baptist, because he has been told by the angel that his son will be the forerunner, the one who will prepare the way for the Christ child. Look at verse number 8. Zacharias says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." He was looking forward. He says, if this baby is going to be the forerunner, then the baby Christ, the one that will redeem us, is not long, and he'll walk before us. He'll be here. Do you think he said it with the mully grubs you heard this week from people at the mall or at Walmart or at the barista at $5, right? Because it isn't Starbucks, it's $5 if you go in there. You ain't getting out of there without spending $5, right? No, they have joy. How's your joy today? Huh? How's your joy? Does the people around you want your joy? We see the joy of the angels. You're there in Luke. Go to Luke 2 and verse 10. I mean, the angels got in on this. They got excited. Verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." It just doesn't hold the same weight if they said, "Well, we bring you some good news, you know, about something that's relatively positive. We're putting out some positive energy here, which are, you know, going to be okay for most people." No. He said, what did they say? "Fear not." Why? "Because I'm excited. Good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is joyful. Okay, nobody else believes it but me and Brother Jim. We're Christians. We own Christmas. Did you not know that? We own Christmas. It's like our thing, right? I mean, right? Right? I mean, don't we own it? I mean, it's us, right? I mean, the prophets confirmed that when Christ come, he would bring the oil of gladness, right? And the joy, the oil of joy for mourning. He'd swap it out. The shepherds down here in verse number 20 of chapter 2 says, "And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen it was told them." I mean, even the wise men 2 years later, it says they saw the star and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, Matthew 2 and verse 10. And then when they brought the baby Jesus in to do for him according to the law of Moses in Luke 2 and verse number 38, Anna comes in at that instance and gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all that look for redemption in Jerusalem. She is excited. This is it. This is it. I've been waiting for this my entire life. I'm excited. This is it. You've been looking for joy. You've been looking for redemption. You've been looking for what the world cannot give you. This is it. He's here. Joy is our birthright as a Christian, because the Bible says that God gives us joy. Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes. Now, Solomon, you got to be careful about Ecclesiastes. It's authoritative. It's the Word of God. It's inspired. It's preserved. It's inerrant. But you got to admit, Solomon wrote this at the end of his life when he had lived his life for wine, women, and song, and now he's writing at the end of his life. And he says in Ecclesiastes 2:26, "For God giveth to man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy." God gives us joy. In Psalms 4 and verse 7, It says, thou hast put, speaking of God, hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Look at that. I got more joy now, Lord, than when I was prosperous. Because money doesn't bring joy. If money brought joy, then famous people wouldn't be wrecking their lives. As Christians, we not only, I mean, you think about it, we sing songs of joy at Christmas, don't we? What are some songs that you sing that have the word joy in it? Somebody shout out. Joy to the world. The Lord hath come. It wasn't joy to the world. We put the tree up on the porch. Right? Joy to the world. The Lord hath come. What's another one? It's got joy in it. We adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. What else? Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Why? Why can we be triumphant? Because we have the Lord. I mean, wow. How's your joy? Come on now. How's your joy? You got to understand the lost world does not understand. I mean, look, a faith. Our faith, if it does not express joy by our hope, a faith that cannot be expressed is not a faith worth having. And if you want to understand why Christian kids grow up in Christian homes, go off to Bible or go off to college and lose their faith, you need to start asking yourself, what did they see when they were here in our bubble? A faith that can't be tested is a faith that's not worth having. A faith that cannot express joy is a faith not worth having. Through the year, we sing other songs. What music do you listen to, y'all? There's a reason why Pastor Mix don't listen to heavy metal anymore. Right? It doesn't bring me closer to God. Why? Because that was my rebellious year. It brings my memory back to other things. I don't listen to country music anymore. Why? I know I'm stepping on toes, y'all. Right? But I don't need to be thinking about meeting a girl at a honky-tonk. Wow, it's Christmas, y'all. Ooh, Pastor Mick stepping on toes now. All right. Why does Pastor Mick listen to the Rat Pack? Because I listen to love songs. They remind me of my wife. I only have eyes for you. Okay, that's just, you know, okay, that's my sin. I get it. That's secular. What music, what does your music focus you on? Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. That's a fabulous one. How about joy unspeakable and full of glory? How about I got a new name written down in glory? Verse number 3 says, in the book 'tis written, saved by grace, all the joy that flood my soul. How about amazing grace? The 5th verse. Now, this might be on the final exam when you get to heaven. The 5th verse says, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. Amen. Our joy is what sets us apart. Take your Bible, go to 1 Peter chapter 3 now. Jump all the way to the back here. Now, it's after Hebrews. Sometimes it's easier to find Hebrews and turn toward the back. Hebrews, 1 Peter chapter 3. It's after James. You'll find 1 Peter. If you get to number 1 John, you went too far. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm not here to preach on music. I'm here to tell you, you can have joy. Y'all going to spend some time with family maybe this year. Maybe you already spent some time with family this year. But there's an opportunity for them to see something in us they can't see anywhere else. See, because remember, you can have all the right words, and it's not near as effective as being the person God needs you to be. Remember, Judas Iscariot had the best pastor with all the right answers, and it didn't work. You know, Jesus went home to Nazareth. And family can be the toughest to reach. The greatest witness of all, brothers and sisters, are not going to be what you say. It's going to be who you become in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Folks, if you're one of my church members, you've heard me talk about this verse 100 times. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Put God first. People around you at work, people around you in your neighborhood, people in your family, they're going to see God first in your choices. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. That means they see your joy expressed as hope. You have something they don't have. And that's why they ask. So let me ask a question. Are people asking you? Are people seeing? How's your joy today, brother? Come on now. How's your joy? Let's take an assessment now. Let's take a little inventory. Are people asking you about what you got that they don't have? How's your joy? Is your faith worth having? In Psalm 16 and verse 8, the Bible says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. It's not about what happens to you in this life. It is where is your hope? What is it you're resting in? What is it that you're trusting in? My hope is not in the White House or the Congress or in the courthouse or the schoolhouse. My hope is in the God that's preached at the church house. Do you understand? It's not what happens to you. Where's your faith? Where's your joy? You can have joy this Christmas. Life probably hasn't gone the way you thought it'd go. Let's just be real, right? Let's just be transparent. Life hasn't gone the way you thought it was going to go. You had different plans when you were 13. You had different plans when you were 18, 23, 23, 27. Have you noticed that life kind of slips through your fingers like sand? And the tighter you squeeze, the faster it goes. And now you're where you are. Now you think to yourself, well, this is where I ended up. No, this is just where you are. Where there's life, there's hope. A live dog's better than a dead lion. You got to understand, this is just where you are. The future's still unwritten. And you can have everything God has said you could have. Everything he's promised is still yours as a believer in Jesus Christ. And one of them is hope and joy. How's your joy today? There's three ways you can have joy in this life, and I want you to see it today. Now, I'll use Psalm 16:11 when I talk about heaven, when I'm doing a funeral or something. The Bible says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. David said in Psalm 116 and verse 15 that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That death is just a graduation to glory. That when our loved ones, they take their last breath here, they take their first breath. And I don't know what that's like. But the first breath of heaven, it's got to be incredible. It's got to be beyond the senses we have. I don't know what it's like to put my feet on streets of gold. But it's got to be better than the best hospital bed in the world. But the greatest thing about heaven is you're in the presence of God face to face. The one you've loved heart to heart, you are now face to face with. How can you not have the fullness of joy? But do you understand, as you read Psalm 16, as I read verse 8 and 9 earlier, you can have the fullness of joy now by entering into his presence here. We get a taste of heaven. When you read the full verse, Psalm 16:11, it says, thou shalt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. See, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. When you're born again, when you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that he has bore your sin on Calvary, if no one else had ever lived but you, he still would have went to the cross and died and took your sin to the cross. He did, by the way. He already paid for your sin. He's paid for the sin of all mankind, past, present, and future. All sin was placed upon Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Not just the ones who get saved, but all men. All means all, and there ain't nobody outside all. Do you understand what all means? Did God not understand what English means? Okay, then he meant all. All right, so God paid for the sins already of all of us. So we can have joy by trusting him as our sin bearer, trusting him as our Savior. And now the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside you when that happens. and an outgrowth of having the Holy Spirit inside you, one of them is joy. Because in Galatians 5, it's the fruit of the Spirit, the natural outgrowth, the natural thing that the Holy Spirit does through us is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. There's a bunch. You understand? Joy is the birthright of a Christian. Have you ever met a sourpuss Christian? No? Somebody's been sucking on a green persimmon and they're just all pinched up in the face and they're just... There ain't nobody meaner than a sourpuss Christian. Nobody meaner. See, it's not about the vocabulary, and you shouldn't use foul language. But it's also about tone and demeanor. You can be mean and ugly without ever using foul language. You can. You can be hurtful. So are you a sourpuss Christian? There's one, probably one in every crowd. If you're not sure, ask the person next to you. How's your joy? I'm not talking about those that are hurting. I'm not talking about those in physical pain or emotional pain. I'm talking about just general. Because the Holy Spirit wants to bear fruit, the fruit of joy. Because through that, the lost world sees something they can't get anywhere else. Because in Hebrews, the Bible says that Moses chose rather to be identified with his people rather than the pleasures of sin for a season. Because it's true. The devil gives you all the good pleasure of sin right up front and then the misery the rest of your life. So there is pleasure in sin for a season, but only for a short time. And then the misery goes on forever. God says, I'll bear the fruit of joy. Do you have it? How's your joy today? Is your joy worth having? He gives it through the word in Nehemiah 8 and verse 12. When we enter into his presence and we read his word, the Bible talks about in Nehemiah 8 how that the people went away rejoicing because they had been spent time in his word. In Jeremiah 15, 16, he said, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. That's what the word does. It's impossible to have joy without a steady diet of the word. How's your joy? Now, there's three ways. There's three ways to have joy. There's three keys to joy. For those of you who like to take notes, there's three keys to joy. Number one, joy is a command. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice. That means joy is a choice. It's a command. It is an inside job. It is you and I deciding how we're going to respond to what goes on around us by choosing what goes on inside us. See, in James 1 and verse 2, if you got your Bible there in Peter, you can jump back toward the front here just a couple of pages and find James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Rejoice. That's what he's saying when you fall into diverse temptations. I can do this because I know there is a purpose to the pain. I know God is going to use this for my good, Romans 8 and verse 28 and 29. I can make that choice. I can say, I don't like what's going on around me, but I've got enough track record with my God. I know his character. I know his heart. I know his promises because I've been in the word. I can choose to rejoice because he's going to use this for something big that I could have never chosen for myself. I can count it all joy. It's not what happens to me. It's what I choose to do with it. I'm going to look to my God. And verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. Don't give up on God. Don't cut it short. Don't stop on God. He's doing something. Now, he never does things the way I think he should or when I think he should. How many people would still be alive tomorrow morning at 8:30 if God did things your way? You ever thought of that? Right? There'd be a new express lane down 95 if God things did my way. I don't know who the guy is who designed that the express lanes only go one way. That's insane. They should, anyway, that's just me. That's just me. I'll go and get in the flesh on that. But you decide what goes on inside. So number one, God says it's a command. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. So Psalm 32:11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Go on. Look to God and go, God, I don't know what you're going to do with this. I know I wouldn't have chose this, but you have. Now, look, I admit, I'm going to be conservative here, and I'm going to say probably more than 80% of my problems are self-inflicted, kind of like my haircut. Anybody? 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 Right? You know what I'm talking about. Did it to myself. There's only one way to respond to that. God, I'm sorry. This is my fault. I'm sorry. This was me. This one's on me. I should have waited on you. I should have asked you before I took matters into my own hands, or at least consulted you, had a meeting, threw up a flare, something, right? Okay, I admit that. Okay, so I'll be generous and say 20% of my problems are stuff God allowed. And in those areas, I should say, hey, I don't know what you're going to do or how you're going to work this out, but I know it's going to be for my good. I trust you. So I'm excited to see what you're going to do. A faith. It says, be glad in the Lord, Psalm 32 says. Be glad and rejoice. Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. So how's your joy this morning? Because joy is not found in circumstances. See, the word happiness is based on the word happenstance. King Solomon said, it's vain to seek joy in earthly things. Ecclesiastes 2:10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. This was my portion in all my labor. And he goes on to talk about how it was vain. We are commanded to give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Take your Bible, go to Acts chapter 20. I was enamored with this week when I heard about it in my devotions. Acts 20. Look at Acts 20. Paul is making his way to Jerusalem. And in verse 17, he calls for the elders of the church in Ephesus. They meet with him. He goes through about, he talks to them. And in verse 20, he says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. And he goes on and he talks about repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. I know this is what I'm supposed to do, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city that bonds and afflictions abide me. I know I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem. And I know I'm not going to be heralded as or celebrated as a celebrity when I get there. This is going to be bad. I'm going to bonds and afflictions. They're going to arrest me, and I'm going to be afflicted. This is not going to be a pleasure cruise. Save the Holy Ghost witness every city that bonds and afflictions abide me. But look at what he says now. But none of these things move me. I know what I'm supposed to do. Neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy. Happiness is circumstantial, but joy transcends our current situation and our future situation. A faith that cannot be tested is not a faith worth having. How many of you grew up watching Winnie the Pooh? Right? How many of you identify with Tigger or have a child in your life that is a Tigger? Every home needs a Tigger. That's how you get new dishes. Right? And new furniture. Right? That's how that justifies going and buying new furniture. Okay. But then the thing is, there's also Winnie the Pooh who's always out looking for what? Honey, the sweetness in life. But then there's the other guy. Eeyore. Yeah. Have you ever met an Eeyore Christian? How you doing today, Eeyore?
Oh, I'm doing okay. But tomorrow will probably be pestilence and locust. Oh, well.
Huh? Which are you? Are you the Eeyore Christian or are you the Winnie the Pooh Christian? Are you always looking for the sweetness God has put into your life? Or,
oh, well, it's going okay, but tomorrow it'll rain.
Stop it. Come on. God said that joy is ours to have. It's ours. Now, I understand. I'm not talking about blind foolishness here. I'm not talking about just la, 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 just a self-fulfilling con, and I'll fake it till I make it. But my question is, how's your joy? Do people want your joy? I've told you a story about my parents. They're both in heaven. They're both straightened out now. No, just kidding. But my dad was the eternal optimist. My dad lived in the sky. My dad lived in the what was possible. It's going to be all right. That's what he my mom's name was Pauline, and dad called her Peen. He said, Peen, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. If God's going to work it out, it's going to be fine. And dad lived in the possibilities of what God could do and how it's just hard work and I stay faithful, it's going to be fine. But my mother lived in the dirt or the ground of what ifs. Well, what if it rains? What if it snows? What if the bank closes? What if locusts and pestilence and earthquakes? You know, I mean, that's just was the way she was. Which are you? Is God bigger than your circumstances? Amen. I mean, it's Christmas. Everybody in the story but Herod had a wonderful time and was excited. Right? Joy is a command. Number one, you want joy? Number one, it's a command. It's not what happens to you, it's what you do with it and who your trust is in. Because if your trust's in you, well, then I suspect you're going to freak out. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Number two, you want joy? Serve others. Have you ever heard the phrase, well, I'm just seeking to become the best version of myself? You ever heard that? I think a guy down in Houston wrote a book on becoming the best you or the best version of you. Didn't he make $1 million on that? And you know, the best version of you is not a version of you at all. It's Christ in you. That's the best version of you. Colossians 1:27, the Bible says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the best version of you. See, the best version of you is when you trust the Lord as your Savior and the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside you. And then it's not just Christ in you, it's Christ living through you. Galatians 2:20, for I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The best version of you is Christ through you. That's the best version of you. Man, that's Christ through you. Amen. It says in Hebrews 12:2 that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what? Endured the cross, despised the shame, came and served us our greatest need, which was to die for our sins. Take your Bible. You're there. You were there in Acts. Go back to James. James chapter 1. You want joy? Number one, choose to obey God, trust God, and rejoice that he's going to work this to your good by trusting him. Number two, serve others. Look at James 1 and verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, I could preach a whole message on that for just a second. But let me give you a little teaser here. How good a fake are you? How good a fake are you? You know what I'm talking about. Y'all work in the capital that influences the world. So you go to work tomorrow and you're not as transparent as you know you shouldn't be because I'm okay, you're okay, you just stay okay over there, right? I mean, I got my junk together, you put out the persona, I got my junk together, I'm on time, I got my, right? You probably have an extra shirt or a blouse in the car in case you come back from work not looking like you got your junk together. You probably got hairspray or something in the car to make sure, you know, if you don't look like you got your junk together when you get back to the office or, right? I mean, I see ladies walking in D.C. They've got a purse and then they've got a big bag. And I know what's in that big bag. And that's a set of shoes that aren't comfortable, but make her look like she's got her junk together once she gets to the office because she's wearing comfortable shoes walking from the metro to the office. Right? Oh, wow, I just hit a nerve, didn't I? Look, you should wear comfortable shoes. That's crazy. Don't walk in stilettos out there. That's nuts. But you get what I'm saying. When you get to the office, there's this. Yeah. Is that how you come to church? If any man seem religious? I've got my junk together. Brother, sister, Hi. Yes. How good a fake are you? That's not the message for today. How, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. Well, we can't park there. We're running out of time. But deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion is and undefiled before God. Now, let me tell you what that is. That's to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That's the real stuff. That's serving people who can't reciprocate. Serving those who can't pay you back. Serving those who can't do you a favor. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. You want joy? Serve those who can't pay you back. Amen. Selflessly, sacrificially serve those who cannot reciprocate you. Do it for Christ. Give him the glory. Take no glory for yourself. Number one, you want joy? It's a command. Choose to trust the Lord in all things and rejoice. Number two, serve others. They can't do anything for you because the best version of you is Jesus Christ living his life through you to the glory of God. How's your joy? Because Christianity is not a spectator sport. Who is Jesus loving through you? You want joy? Let Christ love somebody through you. Is your faith worth having? You're going to be with people this Christmas that you don't normally get with. Let them see Christ. Let them see the best is Christ through you. Let them see the hope they can't even imagine. And let them ask. Let them come around and ask, I don't understand. Let me tell you why. Number three, when you're asked, you've got to testify of Christ. Number three, you want joy? Tell them about your Jesus. See, in Luke 2, that's what the shepherds did. They told everybody that the Christ child had come. In Luke 2 and verse 38, Anna did the same thing. Told everybody that was looking for redemption, this is it. In Acts 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, but ye shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Wherever you go, to whomever you run into, you're to let Christ live through you and testify of him. You know, it's an everybody command. You know, one of the great things about COVID was it proved that people are thinking about their death. What happens if I die? What happens if I never make it out of this apartment or this house? What happens next? We've got better tools today than the old timers ever had when it comes to witnessing. How's your joy? Christmas is ours. Joy is a birthright. Christ came and those that encountered him and with a pure heart, they received the joy. They had joy. If you want it, it's yours. Number one, rejoice. Regardless of your circumstances, because you've trusted the Lord to work it for your good. Your trust is not in you. Your trust is in him. Number two, serve others who can't serve you back and do it for him. That's the best version of you. It's Christ through you. And number three, tell him. Tell him. If there's any good in me, if there's anything worth telling you about, it's what God's doing in my life right now. The fact that I, you know, my portfolio's in the tank. You know what? That's okay. I got Christ. You know, I understand interest rates are terrible. I understand. We may be on the verge of World War III. I don't know. I tell you what, I'll tell you the guy who does know. That's my God who sits on a throne, and he has not lost sight of me. You may not know where the drones are coming from on the East Coast, but God knows where I'm at. He knows where I'm at. He knows how I'm doing. Would anyone else want your joy? The Bible says in Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what God wants. He wants to fill you with it so that it overflows and people just go, I don't understand. How can you face the world like that? I want what you have. Paul called it refreshing. In Romans 15, 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Would you say you're the one at the office who refreshes others? You know what I'm talking about. There's somebody at the office who's a drain. There's somebody you used to work with, and now you're teleworking, or they're teleworking, and you're thankful. And you're hoping they get to do this full time. Because they... See, we're not to be the joy sucker-outers. We're to be the joy putter-inners. Do the people you in your life want your faith? Do they want your joy? How's your joy? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It all starts by knowing Jesus as our Savior. I had no idea what it was like before I was saved. I had no idea. I always thought money brought happiness. I always thought wealth or position or power or influence brought, or fame. I always thought that would bring happiness. Joy, even in the darkest night, still better than happiness in times of prosperity. That's what the psalmist said. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, let's pray. Put your heads down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. And God, this world has no concept of joy because they have no hope. At best, they think they die and it's over. And Father, that many live their life thinking they have no purpose beyond existence. And Father, they live a life of agony or a life of despair. And at times of holiday season, Father, they live even worse despair because the decisions have led to loneliness and heartbreak. And Father, today they need us. They need you living through us is what they need. Father, please, in the next few moments as we pray, I ask God, if there's someone among us that does not know Christ as their Savior, if they died today, they're not sure heaven's their home, I ask God you would convince them of their need to receive Jesus as their Savior and give them the courage to step out of that pew into the aisle and come forward to this pew and pray with me. And Father, for those that are saved and Father, they're lacking in joy, help them to see their need to be in your presence regularly. Whether it be in the Word and in prayer and in services. And Father, for us your children, you've given us gifts to profit withal, to be used by you through us to the service of others. God, help us to see where our purpose lies and to be usable at thy hand for the world to see you through us. God, show us. Bring to mind somebody right now in the hearts and minds of each of us that needs to hear us tell them about our Savior because of our joy. And Father, that you would speak to every heart and every soul right now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As with every head bowed and every eye closes, Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing. If you want to receive the Lord, come and I'll pray with you. It's as easy as is repenting and calling upon him. Come, Christian. Speak to the Lord. Taste of his goodness, find no at you. Won't you ask God to use you like that? God, let me be that spark in the office. Let me be that person who lifts the spirit in our office. That lifts the spirit in our home. Let me be the one who puts the joy in our Christmas this year. God, please, let me be the one that you use, that you live through, that you love through, that you serve through. Please, God, let me be the one. Pray. Won't you come? Ask God for an opportunity to witness. Won't you come and ask? Say, God, give me somebody. Won't you come? Father, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for joy. Thank you, God, for the promises that they're ours to claim. Thank you, God. We ask, God, this week you would use us, live through us, and Father, serve through us. Be ever so evident to those around us, God, that they'll ask. And then we'll have the joy to tell them, it's you. It's you that's made the difference. It's you that our hope is in. And God, they can have it too, just like somebody shared it with us. Oh God, it's because of Christ we have joy. Thank you, Father. And we ask all this in His blessed name. Amen.